Much for that beautiful song, and may the Lord truly give us to always glorify His name by being faithful unto Him. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you please take them and open with me to Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25. And while you're opening there, I want to say I do truly appreciate the faithfulness of each and every one here for you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in the ministry. For your faithfulness to the Lord, for the faithfulness towards this church and your pastor and your pastor's wife. I really truly appreciate God's people more and more every day, because I know that God is rewards faithfulness. And it is required of a man, of a steward, that a man be found faithful. And the truth is, God has stewarded us over, or entrusted us over, many things. Sometimes we think about stewardship or faithfulness, and a lot of times we think only of a few things. But truly, God has entrusted us with life itself. What are we doing with our lives? God has entrusted us with the truth. What are we doing with the truth? Are we being faithful to Him? Honoring and glorifying Him in our lives? Are we being faithful to His Word, not only in studying it and in feeding on it, but also in distributing it and witnessing to others about His Word? God has entrusted us with our times. God has entrusted us with our talents. God has entrusted us with our health. We can go on and on and on with the things that God has given us to be stewards over in our lives. And this passage here in Matthew chapter 25, and I'd really like to read from verse 14 onwards through to verse 30. And if you can stand and read for the reading of the Word of God and honor of the Word of God, that'd be great. Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 14, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." His goods be all these things that he's entrusted us with. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, same thing, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast in thine hand. That is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Now thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundant, that he may, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, shall be taken away, even that he hath, which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heavenly Father, may you truly speak to our hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, to learn how to be truly faithful stewards over the many things that you have entrusted us with. Lord, we want to thank you for the power of your word, and we thank you for the blessings of this life. We pray that today that you would help us to learn biblically how to steward those blessings that you've given us. We ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but a lot of people, whenever they don't own something, they really, don't look after it as if it's they own it. Men who has really nice cars, especially when they go out and wash that car, they wouldn't want the children to eat in the car. They'd say, just get out, finish what you're eating, finish what you're drinking, and then you can get into the car. No, you're not getting now with this thing there. But the attitude would change immediately if we go and hire a car because we're over in another state or something like that, and we hire a car and the car is not ours. We go through McDonald's and say, oh, we don't have to stop, just give them McDonald's in the car, they can eat in the car, it's all right. And sometimes our attitude truly change when we own something to when we truly rent something. Why? Because owners have rights, but stewards have responsibilities. We ought to always look after the things that are not ours better than the things that are actually ours. And the truth is, sometimes I have books in my library, and some people would like to borrow some books. And certain people, I tell you the honest truth, I don't really like to give them a book anymore, because every time that book goes, comes back, and it's all soiled, it's all, coffee all over the book and things like that. And I just say, hey, you didn't really look after my book, because when he took it, he just had the attitude, oh, well, it's not mine. And that's the kind of thing that the Lord is really speaking to these three servants about here. Today, we want to learn that God is the owner of all things in our lives. And whatever he gives us to be stewards over it. The truth is, we don't own anything. Job of old, he said, naked have I come into this world, and naked I will return thither. It's quite obvious that we actually have come into this world with nothing. And it's quite obvious, as Paul the Apostle says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that we cannot take anything with us. I love that expression, because the truth is we try. We try to take something with us. But nobody has been able to take anything with them. If you study history and look at some of the old people and how they used to bury their kings and their rich people, pharaohs used to actually bury all their riches with them. And they even used to put seeds in the pyramids, thinking that in their life to come he is going to, plant seeds and just eat. And, some cultures, when their husband died, his wife was put alive in the grave with him, because they treated her as a possession of his. And, cultures, and I've read some of those things, I was horrified. When a husband dies, they would take a limb of that husband, usually a leg or something like that, and the wife would have to wear it around her neck. They tie it with a string. And I've seen documentary of that on TV. And that limb would actually rot and cause a sickness to the wife until she dies. The ideas that we have about life when they're away from God are absolutely absurd. And let me just say, we're actually starting to develop a lot of ideas in our Western culture where it's purely humanistic, purely away from the Word of God. And today, many people have come to just basically not have any consideration for life or the sanctity of life. That's why today, a lot of women in our Western culture basically believe it's my body. You can't really tell me whether I can abort this baby or not abort it. You know, it's my choice. And, you know, the sanctity of life is no longer respected. Today, people, you come to talk to them about the gospel. When my nephew Johnny was in hospital, I tried to talk to a guy by the name of Phil there. He was young. He was sentenced almost to death because the doctors said, look, we can't really do anything anymore, and you're only going to be able to live about, 3 to 6 months. I mean, thinking about that, what do you think? Where am I going to go? And I tried to witness to that guy. My sister tried to talk to him, and he basically said, no, we're all going to just, evaporate, and we'll be annihilated, and there'll be nothing after this life. And I said, Phil, please, I plead with you. Matt, you won't lose anything. What if, let's just say, let me just ask you to just consider for a moment. What if what the Word of God says is true? And he stopped for, probably about 10 seconds, no more than that. He thought about it for a little bit, and then he said, I don't want to even think about your Word of God. I almost felt like I want to cry for him in my heart. And, his idea about life is that, I drink, I eat, and then we all die, and then nothing happens. Can I just say to you today, the very first principle that the Word of God teaches us here, that God is the owner of all things. He is the owner of everything that I have in my life, lock, stock, and barrel. Everything I have, all the blessings that come from him are absolutely his and nothing is mine. Sometimes we have this mentality. I owe. So off to work I go. I owe it to the CBA. I owe it to the NAB. I owe it to Westpac. I owe it to this. I owe it to that. I owe it to pay my taxes at the ATO, and therefore I need to work. Let me just say, I owe nobody anything in this life before I truly realize that I owe it all to God. He is the one that gives me every blessing. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God has bestowed upon us many, many things, and I really need to understand, why did God bless me with these things? And therefore, also not only understand how I actually have it, I need to know why I've had it, how am I going to use it. So we are stewards of those blessings. The Bible tells us, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything is in this world really belongs to God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The truth is, if I have any blessings out of his hand, it's only to be stewarded in my life. And it's not what I have, it's how that I'm going to use it that eventually I'm going to give an account for. So principle number one is, God is the owner of all things. We are the stewards of his blessings. As we said earlier, moreover, it is required of a man, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Whether it's stewarding God's word, the Bible, or whether it's stewarding my time, or whether it's stewarding my talents, or whether it's stewarding my money, let me just always remember that we are stewards over the things that God blesses us with. Sometimes we think this is our children. This is not your children. One day they're going to get married and they're going to go. God has given them to you for a certain time so that you can actually invest of your life in them, and one day they're actually going to go out and live their lives also. God says, I want you to be faithful. Faithful in the way that you raise your children. Faithful in the way that you actually look after the things that I've entrusted you with. Some may say, oh boy, this message today is probably going to hit me hard in some places, and I haven't really been doing this and I haven't really been doing that. Let me just stop you here for a minute, and before you switch off completely, I'll say, if you've done some mistakes in your life, God is absolutely merciful. And if we would treat this message today as if This is my first point to where I truly want to start living faithfully unto the Lord. That would be great. Because from this point onward, if God is really touching your heart, can I just say, the essence of life is not what you're going to own. The essence of life is how you're going to manage it for God's glory. Amen? Do all things for the glory of God. The essence of life, not how much you're going to be able to accumulate, but the essence of life is how you're going to use what is God is entrusting in your hand for His honor and glory. Randy Alcorn said this, if God was the owner, then I am the manager. I need to adopt a stewardship mentality toward the assets that He entrusted me with, not given to me. A steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets that he manages. In other words, the title deed for that household, even though your name is on it, the truth is God owns it. Amen? He's entrusted you in it. That car that's yours, it's not really yours. It's God. How are you going to use it for God? You know, it's his job, you know, the steward that is, it's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets, then carry out his will. So, if I'm really going to live for the glory of God, my job is to find out what does the owner of these things want done with the things that he's entrusted me with. I'm the steward. He's the owner. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. How am I going to be faithful? I need to know why he entrusted me with what he's entrusted me with. Why he's given me that intelligence? Why he's given me that education? Why he's given me those parents? Why he's given me this church? Why he's given me this Bible? Why he's given me my time? Why he's given me my health? I really need to know, Lord, you can take away anything from me. The truth is, he can take the very breath of my life. I need to find out from him. He's the owner of all things. Lord, what do you want me to do with the things that you're entrusted me with? And then manage it in such a way to where I can actually, at the end of the day, become faithful. In the management, story and the management of these three servants that the Lord had actually given talents unto, we have many a lesson to learn. Because at the end of the day, the Lord is going to bring a reckoning with each one of us. Luke chapter 16 basically says, and he called him and said unto him, how is that it is that I hear of this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. That's what the Lord's going to say at the end. Give an account of thy stewardship. Romans chapter 14 verse 12 says, so then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We all know that God is going to bring us to an accountability. Okay? Well, one day, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, God is going to say to you, why you did not accept my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? You've had an opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, but you rejected. And the Bible says, he that was not found written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. The truth is, when God has entrusted you with a track, when God has entrusted you with a testimony, when God has entrusted you with a message, when God has entrusted you with a copy of the Bible, God is saying, what are you going to do with it? But perhaps I know that, you know, that many of you here that I'm talking to are Christians and, you know, have received Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. Let me just say, God is no longer going to judge you for your sin because it's been judged on the cross. And praise God for the forgiveness that we have. But yet, we are still going to come to an accountability. And that accountability is not before the great white throne of judgment, but it is going to be before the bema seat, or what we call the judgment seat of Christ. And there we will also give an account for our lives. The Lord is going to say, give an account of thy stewardship. Now, let's note the very first thing from this story. The one that distributes the resources unto the servants is the Lord himself. You know, so many times we think, that resources come just any which way. I don't know about your children, but children sometimes think that, parents actually bring their money from that ATM machine. Whenever they run out of money, they say, "Dad, how about we go to that ATM machine and get us some money?" I've heard the story of a guy who went with his dad, bought some present for his mother for Mother's Day, and the dad put it on the credit card and then signed, and then they took the present and went. And the child looked at his dad and said, "Dad, aren't you going to pay for that?" He said, "Yes, son, I will, sometime later." You know, sometimes children think that, money come from ATM, or, we just bring things just like that. And sometimes we actually think that blessings in life just come like that. Very much like children. Let me just say, these blessings came from a giver. And that giver is the Lord himself. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods." It is God who delivered unto us his goods. He gave them talents. Now, in this instance, it might be silver and gold to his servants according to their own ability. Now that he's satisfied, his money has been entrusted into capable hands of three different servants, the master went on his journey, and it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ giving us the gospel, giving us his word, giving us the blessings of this life, giving us all the things that he blessed us with, and then he said, "I will return. I will return." God is the provider of all resources. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, when David realized, as he started to prepare the material for the building of the temple, and the people gave and gave and gave, and then David realized that, and he said, "Lord, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." David realized that, and he teaches a great lesson to each and every one of us to realize that God is the one that gives us the blessings. So that promotion that you actually got recently at work, that didn't come from your boss. That really came from the Lord. That extra money that came, from your employer or from the government, that really didn't come from you, from them. It really came from the Lord. It is God who blesses us with everything. And that's the way that we ought to teach our children these things. George Mueller said, "Let us walk as stewards, not act as owners, keeping for ourselves the means with which the Lord has entrusted us. He has not blessed us that we may gratify our own carnal mind, but for the sake of using our talents in his service and to his praise." So the Lord is the one that distributes that. James says these words, "Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So we need to recognize that God is the one who gives us these gifts. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." The Bible says, don't trust uncertain riches. You know, I don't know about you, but, I'm a bit over half a century now. I'm 54 years old, and I've lived in different countries. I was born in Kuwait. Every time I used to say I was born in Kuwait, people say, where in the world is that? Everyone knows where it is now. Anyway, my parents used to work there because they wanted to make extra money before they came back to their homeland in Lebanon and build themselves future and riches. And truly, my dad had quite a large sum of money back in 1968 when we returned to Lebanon. Dad established a lot of businesses. He had a bakery going in the village. He had lands that he was developing and subdividing, selling some of these lands, building on some others. And he made a lot of money. And in the matter of about 2 to 3 years, he actually blew it all away on gambling. And then Dad disappeared out of our life. Last time I saw my father was about 11 years old, and then I didn't see him again until I was about 20. It was about 9 years. I remember my uncle remained in Kuwait until, even after the Civil War broke, when the Civil War broke in Lebanon in 75, we returned back to Kuwait in 76, and my uncle was still living there. He was still accumulating riches. And finally, when he decided he's going to go to Lebanon, he went there and kept his money all in American dollars because they said, don't change it into any other currency because you'll lose it. And to cut a long story short, what happened was he was getting very little interest on American dollars. And so they said, if you change some to Lebanese pound, then, you'll get a lot of money. And so he changed about a quarter of his money into Lebanese pound, and he was getting something like 18% on it. And he got like 1 year, 2 years of 18%, while the other one was only earning about 2 or 3%. And he said, why should I actually keep it in American dollars? This is, the Lebanese war has gone for 20 years. The pound never really lost any value. Now the war is over. I'm pretty sure the Lebanese pound is going to be pretty good. So he turned over all his money into Lebanese pound. And overnight, bang. Bang. Within 1 week, the American dollar used to buy 3 Lebanese pounds, and within 1 week, it started buying 1,500 pounds. Whoosh, it's all gone. All gone. Listen, in this world, there is uncertain riches. You can never trust. It makes me, really laugh when people say, I'm trusting my superannuation. We all know what the superannuation money is, don't we? Our government is spending it. The truth is they're broke. God says, don't trust uncertain riches. Trust the Lord. Jesus never fails. So we can actually go on to trust him, not the multi-million dollars that we will actually make or go on to make these projects. Resources are providing according to our several abilities, and we need to trust God and not these certain riches. It's not what you do with the millions of if fortune should e'er be your lot, but what you're going to do at present with the dollar that you got now. Sometimes people say, if only God gives me, $10 million, then I'll give him that and I'll give him that and I'll be faithful and, let me just say something. The reason why God isn't giving you $10 million is because you're not managing the $10 now. You hear about the man that said, Lord, what's 10 million years for you? He said, it's only just a second. Oh, wow. He said, Lord, what about $10 trillion, what it is? I said, just for you, it's like 10 cents. And the man said, Lord, can I have 10 cents? He said, just a second. You know what Paul is saying there? He's saying, some people are always running after certain riches. They want to be rich quick. Riches is not the problem. The problem is if you put your heart on these riches. The Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. No. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, but they which will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Oh, yes, God is the one that gives the certain riches, but the demonstration of stewardship is faithfulness. The demonstration of stewardship is faithfulness. In Matthew 25, 16, the Bible says, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And you know what? When he was trading with the same, he knew that the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, because what I had, what I have now in my hands is not mine, but rather it's the master's, and I really need to multiply it." And so he went and traded. He occupied until the master returned. And when the master returned, he was able to give a good account of the things that he had in his life. He was able to say, "Lord, my aim, my goal, my objective was really to bring more glory unto you." The Bible doesn't say that it's wrong to be rich, but the Bible says it's wrong to desire to be rich. You know why? Because I found that a lot of people whom God truly bless and they have a lot of money in their hands, the truth is they're always, you know, living by faith. And I've seen it in many men in our church, and they've given generously towards the Lord, and they own good businesses. They actually cause many families to be able to live through these businesses. And the truth is, some of them, their hearts are broken when their business goes bad because they have to fire people. He says to me, "I can't really fire them because, you know, I'm actually cutting the living of somebody's family. And they're concerned for the families of their workers. And they know that this business is feeding so many families." And the truth is, many times, they are actually living on edge. You know, the bank is always wanting to say, "If you don't make the payments, we're going to come and sell your factory. If you don't make the payments, we're going to come down and, you know, sell your house." But they go on trusting the Lord. And, you know, the Lord brings in other work, and the Lord, you know, feeds these families and their churches, and God blesses their ministry. And you know what? When they've got some money, they don't say, "Oh, praise God, I made so much money." I see that these men are actually giving away this money. They give it to missionaries. They give it to the building of God's kingdom, and they give it to the distribution of His word. And they get, and I look at some of these people, and I just say, I praise the Lord for them. The reason why God is entrusting them with more money is because of the way that they're managing that money. And it's the same thing with anything that the Lord trusts you with. You know, God can trust you with an ability to play a musical instrument, but if you're going to brag about it and not use it for His glory and honor, and not employ it in such a way to where you're going to give it glory to God when you play that musical instrument, or if He blessed you with a beautiful voice and you're just, you know, not going to sing because you're going to think, "Oh, well, I will only sing to, you know, an audience of 300. Yeah, good night. Let me just say, God may actually take that away from you. Don't go on bragging of what God blesses you with. Be faithful in blessing others with the gifts that God has given you. You see, the faithless steward, what did he say? He that received one went, digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. The truth is, he lacked faith. The Bible says about him in Luke chapter 19, and in the other account where we have the same story, he says, "The Lord said unto him, wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, and that it may at my coming I might have required mine own with usury?" He lost his opportunity to glorify God. He lost his opportunity to better himself and better him and better his family. You know, sometimes people think they can try to manipulate God in some things. They say, "Lord, if you do this, then I'll do that." You know, that's not faithfulness. at all. You can never manipulate God. Galatians chapter 6 tells us God cannot be mocked. You know what that word literally? It's God cannot be nosed. You can't really raise your nose against God. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. If you're going to sow manipulation, you cannot reap blessings. You can't go and sow a lie or plant a lie and expect truth to be multiplied. You can't, because you'll always bear of the same kind. It'll bear always the same seed. We all learn from the life of Jacob, for example, you know, how he was such a manipulator, such a supplanter, you know, and he even tried to do so many things against his own family, against his brother, against his father. And then what happened at the end? His own children gave him of his own medicine. Whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. So in our lives also, if we have made some mistakes, the Lord is merciful. Well, let me just say, like I said at the beginning of this message, don't think that God is going to, you know, just reprimand you or judge you on the past mistakes. If today you would be willing to repent and come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to start fresh and I want to start with true faithfulness to whatever you give me, God can actually say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, at the end. Because the day of reckoning is coming. The day of reckoning is coming. He said, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Well, the Lord has promised that he's coming again. 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul the Apostle tells us, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. God's promises everywhere that he is coming again. Even on the day that he left this earth, on Acts chapter 1, when the disciples stood there and then they saw him ascending into heaven until he disappeared of their sight, then two men with white raiment stood there by them and said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Hey, Jesus is coming again, no doubt. The Lord has said, I will come again and take you unto me, that wherever I am, there you may be also. But you know what? So many times we judge one another when the Lord says, hey, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes I remind people, God says it is appointed unto man to die once, and after that is the judgment. So wait for him to die and then judge him. Don't go and judge him then now, okay? You know, every one of us has a different stage in our lives now. And listen, you know, I would have judged myself, you know, if I look at my life 10 years ago, I would judge myself. Okay, and for you to be able to help others, the Bible says, you know, take out the beam out of your own eye, so that you may be able to see well to take the mote out of your brother's eye. You know what the Lord is saying here? He's saying, look, this is a delicate operation that's going to require a lot of clear vision, pure heart, and the help of the Lord. So make sure that you're actually absolutely pure before the Lord. Make sure that you have clear vision. Make sure that you're trusting the Lord to be able to help others. God wants us to help others. But before that, he wants us to be fit for helping. Competent to counsel. Right before the sight of the Lord. The world asks, what does a man own? Christ asked, how does he use it? Andrew Murray said these words. The Lord says, give an account of thy stewardship. And at the end of that account, he does two things to the first two servants, the same thing to the first two servants, but another thing to the faithless servant. First of all, we want to see the commendation of the Lord to the faithful. In Matthew 25, verse 20, the Bible says, and so he that received the five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Can I just say, Pastor Charlie's job is to prepare himself to be ready to stand before the day of the Lord one day. But as he stands in the pulpit, and every pastor's job as he stands in the pulpit to preach and teach the word of God, especially to Christians, is to get them ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And the truth is, God says, I've given each and every one of you certain talents. Now, these talents could, as I said, could be anything. But what we need to do is we need to work diligently. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why was he good and why was he faithful? Okay. You see, I used to think that faithful means is full of faith. But that's not what it means. Now, the truth is, you cannot be faithful without faith. But faithful means that whatever has been entrusted into your hand, you keep it well. You not only keep it, but you keep it well. So you're faithful if when you're entrusted with something, you don't only keep it well, but you work on it and let it be fruitful. Multiply it. That's why the Lord said, occupy till I come. Do you know what occupy means? Occupy means to trade, to go on, work on it, and be good at it. Strive for excellence. You know, God blesses at the end of the day faithfulness. But what's faithfulness? Faithfulness includes hard work. You know, it's funny that sometimes we actually classify spiritual things in our lives by saying, oh, I'm spiritual when I'm reading the Bible. I'm spiritual when I'm praying. I'm spiritual when I'm witnessing. But I'm not spiritual when I'm raising my kids. I'm not spiritual when I'm teaching, you know, at school. I'm not spiritual when I'm doing my job. Really? That's the wrong concept of spirituality. The truth is, when I'm raising my kids, I need to be doing as good as a job as I'm reading my Bible. As good as a job as I'm praying. As good as a job as I'm witnessing. When I'm teaching those children at a public school, I really need to be doing as good as a job as when I'm reading the Bible. It is spiritual to truly do any work that God has given you in your hand to do. Whatever the Lord gives you in your hand to do, do it with all thy might. That's being spiritual. Work hard. Be diligent. Transfer the ownership of all that you have to the Lord. That's being faithful. Steward efficiently what God has entrusted you. Save regularly. And last but not least, give generously. Do you know what the difference between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee on top of it? They both have exactly the same body of water coming through them. That is the Jordan River. But the Sea of Galilee, the water comes in and then gets out of it. Around the Sea of Galilee, there's a lot of vegetation. There's a lot of life. in the Sea of Galilee, you can fish and you can get some of the best fish in the world. But when you take the body of water that's south down from the Sea of Galilee, it's actually called the Dead Sea. The same body of water, which is the Jordan River, comes down into the Dead Sea. It goes there and it stops there. Nothing goes out. Around the Dead Sea, there is no vegetation. There is no life. Inside of the Dead Sea, there is no fish living. That's why it's called Dead Sea. And it's a good analogy of one who actually acts as a channel of God's blessing, receiving and distributing. When you receive and not give anything, you'll just basically die. Let's get all we can and can all we get, you'll die. But if you live generously, God says, that is being faithful to me. So work hard, transfer ownership to God, steward efficiently, and then give generously for the glory of God and the edification of others. Do you know when Paul the Apostle talks about the gifts, the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14? Do you know what the main purpose he actually says that these gifts are given for? The edification of the saints. Edify. To edify means to build up. So when God has blessed you with any spiritual blessing, with any spiritual gifts, whether it be the gift of mercy or the gift of giving or the gift of discernment or the gift of prophecy or the gift of preaching or the gift of teaching or the whatever gift, he's saying, God is saying, I have given you this so that you can edify others with it. And the difference of a person who is mature and a person who is immature is like children. When a child has something, he goes on not wanting to share it, and he always brags about what he has. That's a child. That's an immature person. But a person who's mature is not afraid of sharing it with others. And he says, look, God has blessed me with it, and I'd really like to use it to encourage you with it. That's a spiritual person. So at the end of the day, how can I be faithful? How can I give God the glory? With anything that God entrusts me with, I need to be good at what God has trusted me with. That is, work hard on it, keep it well, multiply it, transfer, and multiply it, make it fruitful, transfer the ownership back to the Lord because it's not mine anyway, steward it efficiently, and then bless other people's life with it. The more passionate our faith is, the more consistent is going to be our blessing of others, our giving towards the Lord, the glory of the Lord. God does not judge people by how much they give. What concerns God is how much do they really love Him. You remember when he actually sat down by the temple and he came and saw all these rich people, you know, put their money in, it was, you know, ringing greatly in that temple treasury. And then comes a little widow and she puts two mites. And the people watch and the disciples watch. And the Lord said to the disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, she gave more than them all. How is that possible, Lord? These guys gave thousands. She only gave 2 cents. How is that possible? Because when God looks, he doesn't look on how much you give, but he looks at the proportion of what you give, which is the expression of your heart. He said, the reason why she gave more than them all, because she gave all that she has. She gave even out of her own living. She lived in faith and she gave in such a way that God would be honored. She wanted to address God and express her love to him, just very much like Mary when she broke down, when she broke that nardine bottle and poured it onto the feet and the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, extravagantly expressing her love to the Lord. Now, could anybody give a year's wages? Of course, many people could have given more than a year's wages. Rich people could have actually given 10 years' wages if you want. But it wasn't about the 10 years' wages or the nardine box or anything like that. It wasn't about the two mites. It was about the expression of your heart. Amen. How much do you love the Lord? The more passion you love and you have faith in God, the more you will give, the more that you'll bless others. Jim Elliot said these words, "A man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." If you think about it for a minute. A man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. Can you keep money? We're just talking about how that can go whoosh. And the more you actually desire to be rich, the quicker it goes out. Whatever it is, you can't keep it. Give it unto the Lord. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Treasure unto yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves would not dig in and steal. But rather," he said, "where your treasure is, there is your heart also." There is your heart also. And so he goes on to say, set your affections on things above, on things in heaven, on things that concerns God. God says, "I commend you when you live faithfully to me." But a person without faith cannot be faithful. And that's what I said before. Faithful doesn't mean full of faith, but I did say you cannot be faithful without faith. The faithless servant whom the Lord condemned didn't really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was afraid of him. He didn't trust him. And the Lord at the end said these words about him, which are very, very sad. He said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." I don't think any of us would want to hear these words from the mouth of the Lord. "Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges." What did he say then? "Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall have abundance. But to him that hath not," he hasn't got any faith, he hasn't got any faithfulness in him, "hath not, shall be taken away, that which he has shall be taken away from him. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You know, this man never knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, like he said unto the others, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You know, the primary reason for the judgment of the unprofitable servant is not that he didn't work. The primary reason for his judgment is his unbelief. His unbelief in his heart. Outer darkness is a common New Testament description of hell. God is light, as John declares, and in him there is no darkness at all. Light signifies God's presence, and darkness signifies his absence. Hell, you know, not only is eternal darkness, but eternal torment. In that place, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, signifying the unrelieved agony of being separated from God's presence and goodness. If you're without Christ tonight, today, I urge you, I plead with you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The truth is, you can never be faithful. You can never resolve any of life's true problems that are spiritual without His help. open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Let me say, a man can go to heaven without health, without riches, without honors, without learning, without money, without friends, but he can never, ever go to hell. He can never ever go to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. The eternal place for such a person is separation from God forever in a hell that burns, where there is gnashing of teeth and eternal fire that will be quenched not. If you're a child of God today, I urge you and I challenge you that you live a faithful steward. A faithful steward is someone who will just do things for God's glory, who knows that God owns it all, and I'm a steward over it. I'm going to work hard, do good, be fruitful, transfer everything back to God, make sure that I bless others, encourage others, build others with the things that God entrusted me with. And when the Lord comes, and the Lord is coming soon, I'll be able to say, Lord, you've entrusted me with this, and I've used it for your glory and honor like this. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, God has challenged our heart this